rest and gladness, O day of joy and light. O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, on thee the high and lowly who bend before thy throne sing, holy, 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 to thee eternal one. Thou
for the Lord's Supper, Memorial Day?
We had the Lord's Supper Saturday, but not Sunday.
So you didn't have it on Memorial
Day? We did not have it. We had it Saturday on Memorial Day weekend, but not Sunday, which is it's just the way, the pattern that we follow.
Yes. Did you say the Athanasian Creed?
We sure did. Yes.
Why do you laugh?
Well,
you can say it in about 20 seconds.
No. It's a little bit longer than that. I don't know. I just kind of imagine when I announce that we will now, I think it's what, 319 in the hymnal. And I can kind of imagine people's eyes rolling back in their heads. Oh, this is a long one.
Well, at least in this hymnal, they versified it.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
So I said the odd verses, they said the even.
Uh-huh, right. That's what I do.
On 40. And although I change it a little bit. You know, the Father incomprehensible.
The Son incomprehensible. The Holy Spirit incomprehensible.
And the Athanasian Creed incomprehensible.
Yeah, I will say there are some challenging lines in there that probably merit some discussion.
Yeah, what I had done.
Didn't you have you had an excellent Bible study that you used to distribute sometime?
No, I distributed it to everybody in the congregation Sunday.
Uh-huh.
The Bible study all got it, and then I announced it that anybody would want it. There's about five or six verses behind every phrase.
Yeah.
Like one substance with the Father.
Yes.
So you got verses like, I and the Father are one. If you see me, you see the Father. Things like that.
Yeah, that's a good Bible study. I really ought to use it more often.
Yes, and that's what I was kind of doing here. I think I was being heard through your microphone.
I could hear you.
Hey, you could hear me. That's great. That's all that counts. Because between you and our two wives, I don't know.
That's about
else.
It. That's all the listeners we have.
Oh, day of rest and gladness. What is really interesting about this hymn, it says, in the history of hymnody, this rises to the level in making clear the meaning and purpose of the Lord's Day.
Right, right.
It's not too much. It was written by Christopher Wordsworth. He actually wrote it in 1862, and it had six stanzas. We only have four of them.
What a great name for a hymn writer, Wordsworth.
Oh, Wordsworth, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, worthy of words.
Yes.
Boy. Not like Smith or Baker. Yes. So what we need to look at it, from the point of view that it's one of the few that deals with Sunday. And notice that in our hymnal, the one we're looking at, it is at the beginning of the service.
That's right.
That's what it says.
Beginning. I use this hymn a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Well, you're going to hear more of this particular rendition because I have to preach today at 10. Unless you want to take over by yourself.
No, that's
so
fine.
I'll be glad to play the hymn a little more.
Okay,
we get
great.
Back to that point.
Yeah.
O day of rest and gladness, if you'd be so kind as to read the first stanza.
O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, This day the high and lowly through ages joined to bless, sing holy, 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 the triune God confess.
So, the one word that kids will not understand is the second word in the second line.
Let's see. Balm?
Yeah, what's balm of care and sadness? What
well,
is balm?
A balm mean? Is, you know, if you ever got a bad sunburn,
yeah,
you know, and you put some ointment
lotion
on, oh man, then you understand what balm is all about. It soothes you.
It's yes.
It's a soothing ointment.
Why, if we have to go to church, is that a day of rest?
Well,
that's a day of work.
We rest on Christ is serving us.
Yes,
it's really Him serving us. We're not serving Him. I mean, we're praising Him and singing hymns to Him, but really, it's a service that He is rendering us. It's sacramental as well as sacrificial, and He is anointing us with the balm.
Yes, I'm going to be having fun this Sunday because it's also in Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day as your Lord commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, I don't want to get into it right now, but I'm going to try and explain why we appear not to keep the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week.
Well, I thought you were going to ask a different question. I thought you were going to ask, well, how can it be God be serving us if He's commanding us? It's like your mother says, come and have breakfast, eat breakfast for your own good, for your strength and well-being. You know, it is a command, but nevertheless, it's for our own good and for our blessing and pleasure.
Yes. Day of rest actually comes. A lot of people think the word Sabbath means seventh.
Yeah.
Or it means Saturday. What does it mean?
It means rest.
Yes, it's a day of rest. And that's when God rested from His creation.
That's right.
Particularly. And so I like to talk about that the Sabbath is a back taste of the Garden of Eden and a foretaste of heaven.
Yes, that's an interesting metaphor you've used there.
Yes. Because
I also think
oh yes,
of Jesus resting in the tomb on the Sabbath.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
His recreation completed, his redemption completed.
Excellent.
So he rests again in the tomb.
So it's a day, in other words, I consider the Garden of Eden to be the big rest home.
Garden of Eden to be the big rest home.
Yeah. You could go around and pick some apples if you were hungry,
uh-huh,
or ride a lion, stroke a snake. Uh-huh. No problem
at
all.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Eden restored.
Eden restored is going to be after Judgment Day, yes. Yeah, Pastor Krusky wrote Are There Animals in Heaven? And he uses a bunch of those verses to show that if it's going to be restored, it means not only the world and the clouds and the mountains, but the animals.
Yeah. And thorns and thistles become beautiful flowers, I suppose.
Well, yes. I guess so.
We wouldn't worry about wasps or spiders or any of that stuff, see?
Well, you could have them as pets.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Tom.
It's a day of joy and light. I wonder why Mr. Wordsworth, he's got four metaphors here. In fact, a whole bunch of them. The first verse, it's a day of rest, gladness, joy, light, balm of care, and sadness. Oh, balm of care and sadness.
Yeah.
What does he mean by
it's
that?
It's a balm that soothes our sadness
Very
and our
good.
Care.
Excellent. Yeah. Most beautiful, most bright. I find that a lot of people that are no longer going to church are not going to church because they don't realize this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't see church as a balm of care and sadness.
Either that or, sadly, they weren't getting the balm for their sadness. They weren't, maybe the preacher wasn't really preaching the law and the gospel and giving them the balm that they needed. I mean, that's a sad reality.
I just got a book put out by Prison Ministry Group, and the title is How to Become a Child of God. And as soon as I read the title, I knew it was going to be false teaching.
Yeah, right, right.
Because
how to attain it.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the whole book is like.
Yeah.
And
a lot of preaching is that way today, sad to say.
It really is. And here, okay, here's the argument you're going to get. They say 2,000 prisoners have come to Christ through this book. Because it does talk about Jesus in the book and stuff like that, but then it's got all this false teaching that you have to say this prayer and turn your life over to Jesus and this nonsense. Somebody will say to me, well, isn't it better that they became a Christian with a little false teaching that they went in to become a Christian at all? How do we answer that?
Well, you know, you think, remember how Jesus criticized the Pharisees?
Right.
And, you know, the Pharisees were into the word. They were into the scriptures.
Sure.
But he says, you travel to make proselytes of yourselves and make them worse heretics than you yourself are.
But in that case, they weren't becoming believers.
Right.
But in this case, the prison ministry says they are becoming believers. It's kind of like being a Roman Catholic and believing in purgatory. It doesn't mean you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, these are believers. You want to hear my answer?
Well, you know, Jesus himself says, all those that call me Lord, Lord, you know.
Yeah, but these people do call him Lord, Lord and are believers.
Oh, okay.
So
all
I'm
right.
talking about. So,
you're talking about people who do profess Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yes, and are going to heaven.
All right.
They also have been taught this false teaching.
Yes, right.
So why wouldn't we want this book to be out? At least some people are saved. And here's my answer. It deals with the doctrine of the elect. God says that none of the elect are going to be lost.
Right, not one.
Not one. So all these people are going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better that they be saved through false teaching or through proper teaching?
It's better that they get proper teaching.
Exactly, because then they get the greater comfort.
Yeah, exactly. You want them to have the full comfort God wants them to have.
Exactly. So by telling people not to support this prison ministry, you're not sending somebody to hell who would have been going to heaven. If they're part of the elect, if they're believers, they're definitely going to come to faith some way.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's promise.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get them to come to faith through proper teaching, because here's all these prisoners, and if you would ask them, how do you know you're going to heaven? I invited Christ into my heart.
Yeah.
I turned my life over to him.
Yeah.
And then they find that there are times they're not doing that.
Right, yes.
They get angry at other prisoners.
And they get despondent about, you know, they despair because, I'm not as good a Christian as I thought I was.
Yes. So it's our doctrine of the elect that shows that, no, if you have an option of true doctrine or false doctrine, even though it may save some, just get rid of the false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Why have it? Because none of the elect are going to be lost. And so it'll be far better. That's why we put missionaries in all the countries of the world, you know, to share that
That's
message.
Right.
And boy, there's some good stories from them.
You aren't kidding.
Third line, this day the high and lowly through ages joined to bless, sing holy, 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 the triune God confess. You know, we just did the Athanasian Creed.
That's right.
He who does not, you know, believe that.
If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're not a Christian.
Yes. Now, you have to take that into perspective because I'm not sure Adam and Eve believed in the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, they sure communed with him and spoke with him.
Yes, but did they know it was three persons?
You know, before they fell into sin, I think they did.
I think you're right, because the first three verses of the Bible, God the Father created, the Holy
and the
Spirit hovered.
Spirit of the
right,
Lord.
And then the Lord said, let there be light.
The Word was there.
Yeah, so in fact, there's a real good book out showing that there has to be more than one person in the Old Testament when they're talking about God.
That's right.
Like in Daniel 7, you've got the Ancient of Days on the throne.
Yes.
And who's he talking to? The Son of Man.
He's talking to the Son of Man, which is Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
In Daniel 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that to be true because it's fulfilled in Revelation, the same language. And Jesus often refers to himself.
It's his favorite term for himself, the Son of Man.
Exactly. So you can't read the Old Testament without seeing the word God or Lord in capitals and realizing there's more than one. And there's actually three, particularly in the first three verses. And what does God say in Genesis 1 about creating man?
Let us make man in our image.
Yeah, in our image, yes. And the word for God is always Elohim.
Elohim, which is plural.
A plural.
Mm-hmm.
But it always is followed with a singular verb.
Right.
Makes no sense
right.
at all.
Yeah.
There's not more than one. The guy who did that book is called Beckwith. Just an excellent book. I was looking at it recently. And just has some verse after verse showing that...
What's the name of that book? Do you call?
The Trinity.
Oh.
I don't know.
By Beckwith.
Yeah.
It's a good book on the doctrine of the Trinity.
Yes.
You know, Lifelight puts out a really good Bible study.
Oh, really?
CPH, Concordia Publishing House, puts out an excellent Bible study in its Lifelight series on the Trinity. And if you think that's going to be easy, you are sadly mistaken. That was the toughest course I ever taught.
Really?
In Lifelight on the Trinity.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really something.
Who was the author?
I couldn't tell you. I can't recall.
I can't remember the book. He makes fun of me. He can't remember who was the author.
No, it was a Lifelight book.
John Charlemagne did a number of the Lifelights. Yeah. A field worker of mine and son of Martin Sharp.
Yeah, He's
just excellent in his Lifelight things. Okay, stanza two.
Yeah. This day at Earth's creation, the light first had its birth. This day for our salvation, Christ rose from depths of earth. This day our Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven, and thus this day most glorious, a threefold light was given. There you've got creation.
Yeah.
You've got Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
You've got Pentecost.
Right.
And you've got Trinity Sunday.
Yes.
The only thing it's missing is Christmas. Well, of course, that's not always on a Sunday.
Well, no, that's true. But you can't talk about Christ without Christmas.
Well, yeah. Right.
But yeah, that's a good point. Today at LCEF, where I did the worship service this morning, I sometimes like not playing the instrument, and we say it instead.
Uh-huh.
Because I say, when you say it, you notice words you don't catch.
Right.
And you caught that immediately.
Yeah.
That it's all the big ones. And they're all on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought light wasn't created till the third day. The sun.
That was fourth day.
Fourth
the sun,
day.
Moon, and stars, that's the fourth day.
Okay, creation. How come it says first day?
Well, no. Actually, it says first day, let there be light.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the light of the sun or anything.
Right.
That was Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Remember in Revelation, it says we might not even have a need for the sun.
No, that's right.
Stanza three, I'll read, this day God's people meeting his holy scripture here. His living presence greeting, through bread and wine made near. We journey on believing, renewed with heavenly might. From grace, more grace receiving, on this blessed day of light. Boy, you can tell this is Lutheran because of the Lord's Supper.
Yes, oh yes.
Is mentioned here.
Yes.
We journey on believing, renewed with heavenly might. And that's the ascension.
We journey on believing, renewed with heavenly might. You say that's a reference to the ascension.
Well, sure. That's where he went to the right hand of God. And we're at the right hand of God also.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
So Sunday is really an important day, unless you know what day Christians worship in Israel?
Christians?
Yeah.
I would imagine Sunday.
Nope.
They don't?
No.
What, Saturday?
Yeah.
Really?
Because that's what the culture is there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So they stay with Saturday in Israel. The Christians, of course.
Yeah, not a lot of Christians have. Yes.
No kidding. Well, of course, we have Saturday worship.
You do?
We sure do. Saturday evening.
And how many churches have Monday worship?
I don't know.
And then all churches, at least many in the Lutheran, have Wednesday, Advent, Monday, Thursday,
right.
Good Friday. There's only one day that we don't have worship services.
What would
on.
That be? Saturday? No Saturday. What day would that be?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? Wow, there's nothing nothing excluding worship from Tuesday either, really. If somebody wanted to have,
has it.
Well, how do you know? There might be some church that has it Tuesday.
The prof I had actually had it every morning.
Right, yeah. His name was, Evanson?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good, Evanson.
Yes. Yeah.
And I said, what happens when it snows and nobody's there? Because he lived right next to the church.
Yeah, he'd have it with just a few people there.
He had nobody there.
Uh-huh.
I said, would you have the service? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, because the angels are there.
Oh, uh-huh.
He
uh-huh.
had every...
No kidding.
Even when nobody was showing
no
up.
No kidding.
Yeah. Stanza 4, please.
That light our hope sustaining, we walk the pilgrim way. At length our rest attaining, our endless Sabbath day. We sing to thee our praises, O Father, Spirit, Son. The church her voice upraises to thee, blessed three in one. It's, of course, a doxological verse, and you stand for that. It talks about the whole Trinity.
And you also have the other big festival, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
At length our rest attaining,
right.
Our endless Sabbath day.
Endless Sabbath day, of course, is that they may rest from their labors.
Yes. And can you imagine that's a considered a Sabbath?
Yeah.
Day of rest
yeah.
in heaven. Because what do we put sometimes on tombs?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
R.I.P., rest in peace. Because that's where the person is and no longer see work is the opposite of rest. They had to go to work and work the fields because they weren't as good as they used to be and this yeah. sort of thing.
Yeah. It was a joy before the fall though. Workers was a joy before the fall. And even some of us are even, fortunate enough to enjoy our work thoroughly, even after the fall.
The church I'm attending, the front area, they resod it with grass.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sections that aren't coming up. And so every time I go there, they've got it being watered and stuff. And uh-huh. I said, boy, you would think farmers would know how to grow grass, I said to them. And there was a farmer I was talking to.
Did they laugh at that?
Well, no, he said, we know how to grow wheat and beans, but grass is totally different. And I never realized that.
Yeah.
But, and there were blotches here and there, and they were trying to water that. It was really funny. You know. So they grow wheat, beans, corn. They're good at that.
But grass, they have trouble with grass.
And it was sodded.
They're good people out there at the farm, aren't they?
Oh,
wonderful people. I ministered to a rural congregation.
Yeah, I know.
Great people. Salt of the earth.
Yeah. No, they don't put any salt down.
No.
Because that would ruin the grass, too.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
You got to be careful here. Yes. So, are you singing this hymn this Sunday?
Yeah. Oh, now, no doubt. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Yeah, because the other readings are dealing with the Sabbath.
Right.
And I'm going to have a fun sermon and also a fun Bible class, too. But be back next Tuesday. Or
Planning on it.
Yeah, okay. That was Pastor Mark Smith. And we're going to be, God willing, back next Tuesday. We're going to have you listen now to this rendition of this hymn more fully because I'm on my way to do some preaching. Till tomorrow, when we look at some of these Old Testament verses, I'm Tom Baker and Mark Smith. God bless.
O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, on thee the high and lowly, who bend before thy throne. thou art a poor protected from storms that round us rise. A God.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.